Welcome to Leading with Grace Notes, Conversations from the Podium, the podcast that amplifies the incredible stories and journeys of Black women who are breaking barriers and making waves as band directors within the esteemed Association of Black Women Band Directors.
Today's guest received her Bachelor of Arts from Bethune-Cookman University and a master's degree from the University of Florida, and the Education Specialist Curriculum and Instruction from Argosy University. She was a band director in DeKalb County, Georgia, and now serves as the music supervisor for DeKalb County Schools. Please welcome Monica Fogg.
Hello, everyone. So excited to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about what I love.
Thank you so much for being here. So getting started, can you share a bit about your journey to becoming a band director? Like, what inspired or motivated you to pursue a career in music education?
Since first, second grade, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. Music was always my favorite class in elementary school. And I still remember my teacher, Mr. James, in elementary school. And so I was always the teacher's pet. I had the yardstick, you know, point to the ABCs, starting everybody off. And I will volunteer to do the national anthem. It was the Pledge of Allegiance. my parents and my brothers, they recently will talk about how I was a teacher at home. Like, I would have my Cabbage Patch Kids lined up and we would play school. And my dad was the principal because he was mean. So he was the principal. And I had all of this going on in elementary school. And I remember, as I'm talking to you now, when we used to have Girl Scouts, it was at an old school, and they were adopted new textbooks, and there were abandoned textbooks outside at the garbage can. So guess what Monica did? Picked up one of each. We were using at our school at my house. And then when I was in sixth grade, I joined band, and I was like, what? You can teach band? Oh yes, sign me up. And so I've known I want to be a band director since middle school.
That's yeah. Awesome.
Wow.
That is awesome.
As a Black woman in the field of music education, what unique challenges have you faced throughout your career, and how have you overcome or navigated them?
Well, I've always taken on the persona that I didn't even look at race, to be honest. I've been fortunate to work in environments, especially in the latter part of my career, to be in a predominantly African-American community where there were a number of Black educators. When I first started, I was in a small district in Gainesville, Florida. I got a call from the professor of music, say, hey, this school's looking for a band director. Do you want to go? And so when I went there, it was only four high schools there. And all of them were women band directors.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I was the only woman of color, but I was a woman band director. So at a firm that I knew what I was going to do. And I mean, when I say it was so encouraging as a young woman band director to do that. So I've always told my kids, I'm a band director, you know, not Black band director, but I'm a band director. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, well, I guess when I first got there, you know, meeting people, and one of the band parents is like, so you the director of the bands? Yes. Just the marching band? No, of all of the bands. And he was of another ethnicity. He looked at me. I was like, yeah, it's me, this young black lady who looks like the kids. But the majority of the kids were Black, you know? And so, it just gone from there. So some of the challenges I faced were from my male administrators, because I have always had a strong personality, especially once I was confident in my skill as a director. Like, I know what it takes to have a good band program, and this is what my program needs, and I'm always going to fight to the finish. And so some of them were, for lack of better terms, intimidated, or I did not intimidate easily. I knew what I wanted, and I was going to fight, especially if it was what was right for the kids. And a lot of administrators back then, I had to prove to them why I wanted to do this for my group. And so it was like, one year I had so many calls to the regional superintendent office because of something I did. And here's the investigation with assistant principal. Oh, it was unfounded. It's unfounded. I'm just like, okay. And in the office, this principal had my support. But in front of those parents, it was another story. And so needless to say, I resigned and left that school because I'm like, I can't. I got a headache just pulling into the parking lot. Right. So, and even at the same school, I worked in a predominantly Black community. And so a lot, unfortunately, in this area, the students didn't have a father figure in their home. And so I replaced the position of a longstanding male band director who the kids looked to as a father figure. Mm. And so when it was time for them to listen to me, this, you know, short, petite lady, who are you? I already have to listen to mom and auntie or grandma. I don't got to listen to you because you took his job. I had to affirm them. Hey, I didn't take his job. First of all, he, you know, transferred and I'm here for you. But as time went on and they started graduating, they were like, Mama Fog. You know, they loved me and they were so upset when I left. But that was one of the most challenging positions of my career. Mm-hmm. And I can say, going to my last schools, it was just getting the moms to understand, you know, that I was, when they saw me as being a woman, they thought I was going to be soft. And there's nothing soft about me. you know, I'm very straight to the point, no chaser, because I tell my kids, I'm a band director. I may be a woman, but I am a band director. And so I need you guys, you know, we got a show to get on. And once they got over that rough part of me when I'm getting ready for a performance, and it's like, oh, she is kind of nice. Yeah, because I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher during the day. I'm a band director in the afternoon. They are two different people. And don't come for me when it's the time for a performance.
Right. So how do you think your presence as a Black woman band director impacts your students and the broader music education community?
For my students, they get to see a Black woman band director. And that's something being in this community that a lot of people don't have the opportunity to see. And one year for my our marching band evaluation, I titled my show a tribute title of the show, a tribute to the women band directors. And so we did female musicians, we did all the show was women by Black, was music arranged for Black women. And then at the end, we were playing I'm Every Woman by Whitney Houston. And we listed all of the Black woman band directors in our district at the time. And it was about 8 of us. And they felt so proud to be able to be recognized on that level. And it was just, the kids were like, wow, Miss Fogg, exactly. Like a band director doesn't have to, one, be a male. Two, he doesn't have to be white. And three, they don't have to be old because I'm not either of those.
Right. You know?
And so it gives them an opportunity. And then when they see me, when they saw me networking with and everyone knowing me and then me moving into this position, now they look, okay, not only is she a woman band director, but she's good. And, you know, we can... We really look up to her, like, Miss Fall, you know them, like they just like seeing that. And so hopefully that inspired more to become band directors. And I'm like, I don't care what you do when you go to college, just as long as you're the best at it when you get there. And you can be a trailblazer, you could be the first. When I came into the cab, I was the only woman band director out of all of the it was like 21 high schools back then. And so to get to the point of where I was when I did that show, for us to have 9, the only woman high school band director, we had elementary or middle and an assistant, but the head was just me. And so for us to move to that point, we had more. It was just a great sight to see.
Mm-hmm.
Really great. Mentorship can be pivotal. Have you had mentors or role models who've influenced your career, particularly considering the specific challenges you faced as a Black woman in the field?
Most definitely, because you need somebody to tell you you're not crazy. Okay.
Right.
And there are just so many challenges that we just take on that we think is just us. And so it's very good and always as a result of that, became a mentor. But when I first started teaching in that community in Gainesville, Paula Thornton was like at Buholz High School, and she ended up being the fine arts coordinator in Jacksonville. But they were going to Midwest and got the Stella Cup my first year teaching. So she was a mentor. Do you need a chaperone on this trip, ma'am? I could do whatever you need. But when I started picking literature, she helped me. And I know if I was still teaching to this day, I can let her know, this is my strong section, this is my weak section. What songs do you think I should pick? This is a great level of music that I want to go on. And so I know I could call her for that. I have a mentor that can help me with communicating with parents, because again, I shared with you, that was a challenging thing for me. I've never been afraid to ask questions. The previous music coordinator for the CAP, he is a mentor to this day, where I can call and ask like, hey, this is what's going on. First, you know, they let you vent and get it out. And then they say, okay, this is what you need to do. And a lot of that is based on experience or is based on coaching. And so they allow you to talk through what it is that you need to do or where you are. And if there's anything you could do at all, you know. And another mentor, I got mentors, they're all different sections or sectors of my life. But Alfred Watkins, well, the previous coordinator here was Don Roberts in the CAB. Mm-hmm. And Alfred Watkins was at Lassiter High School. I remember the first time I met Alfred, he cut my band up on stage for our pre-LGPE, our pre-festival. I thought we sounded good till he started talking to us. And I was like, oh man, I got some work to do. But I was able to accept the feedback and be able to move. And so then he heard the group 2 weeks after that feedback. And he was like, okay, you guys did well. And his biggest thing is poco a poco, little by little. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with him at Midwest this year. And I was like, hey, this is where I am. He said, do you want to do the program or do you want to win? Which one do you want to do? And so he always has just a sentence that is so strong philosophically and like, man, make you rethink your whole life. So I do believe that mentors are extremely important in just navigating your career. And I also have a mentor now, a music coordinator that I could talk to and just help me navigate these administrative streets.
Right. It's good to know that, like, people don't have to, if you're coming into this as a new director, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are people out there that you can call and they will always answer and help you out.
Most definitely. It's so important for them to know that. Especially with music teachers, and we're the only band director, the only mm-hmm. court, well, you know, with band, the only person in the school that teaches that subject. So when you go to your faculty meetings, they can't really help you with teach your kids how to read 6/8 rhythms, you know, right. But you have somebody that you can talk to. And just, I want to encourage new teachers, or even if you're a veteran teacher, don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help, because there's always someone that's willing to help you.
Definitely. So in what ways do you infuse diversity, equity, and inclusion into your teaching approach within band and music education? I know earlier you talked about your show that you did that highlighted Black women band directors and Black women composers and musicians. And are there any other ways that you were able to incorporate that?
I was able to incorporate it with who I put on the podium in front of the students for them to see conductors of color, women, you know, for them. One of the things that I did not necessarily get a chance to do, which was highlighted and evident during COVID, was to highlight the music that was composed by them, or made sure that I had a woman composer on my program, or a composer of color on my program. So what I did then was during Black History Month, I just had, here's a composer, a young African-American composer, and I play the music for the students and share the background of them. During COVID, we had more time because we weren't trying to play or right. get prepared for the next concert. So that was a way that I was able to share more information with them. And then during Women's History Month, I was sharing about women composers for the students so they would know, because we know that exposure is important, and if we don't share it with them, they won't get it. You know, they get to see a Black woman composer where other people have never seen that, not composer, but conductor. Other people never seen that, you know, they see it every day. And so it's just important. I just wish I would have played more of the music, but I would say towards the end of my band directing career that I did take more opportunities to share that information with the students.
Mm-hmm. It is really, You would think that most kids these days would know that there are women, like women can compose. But I remember it was last year and I played a piece by Marie Douglas and I put her picture up there and they're like, she wrote that? A girl, a woman, she wrote. I was like, what? She's like, I didn't know that women could compose. I'm like, really? You just don't think that that happens, but it's still like that. So we have to be the ones to show them.
It is, and it's when you're speaking that Marie is just not only a black woman, she's a black woman with locks. So she goes against the whole grain of what they think a traditional composer looks like. And I'm grateful that a lot of databases for symphonic works are starting to have a list of composers of, black women composers, black male composers, just so that they could diversify the platform. And then we have other people that sit on boards of the Music Educators Association, the playlist for the state, and start getting composers of diversity added to the list, because some people limit themselves to only playing what's on the published list and don't realize that you don't have to use that list when you go to your performance evaluation. You could play anything else at your school and at your local concerts. And so it's important for them to know that.
How do you address and challenge stereotypes or misconceptions about Black women in leadership roles within the music education community?
I don't know if I'm the right person to answer that question because of my method. Once I got outside of class, I'm like, man, I was a tyrant, like I was take it or leave it. This is who I am. I told my kids, this is a dictatorship, okay? Because this is my program. If you don't like it, you don't have to come. I realized that approach wasn't always the best, but it's what worked for me. And in a leadership position as a woman, I was straight, no chaser. I was very direct, and it was my way. Of course, I took on the opinions of my band staff and my executive board for my band parent association. I trusted my trusted people. I took their advice into consideration, and but I had to reiterate to them that I'm the one that's ultimately responsible for this program. So I have to make a decision that's best for the entire program, not just for my personal interest, because there are certain things that I may agree to do for the band that I don't like, but I'm doing it because it's best for everyone. And I'd assure them that I'm not leading off of emotion. I make good, solid, informed decisions. It's not because I like you or I don't like you. I had to share that with my kids. I was like, if I don't give you any constructive feedback, you might want to worry what's going on. I'm giving you the feedback because I care about you and I want you to get better. And it's not because I don't like you. And some people take, that criticism and feedback that you don't, as a emotion and not get better, And so even with my staff or the directors, I was always a leader in our district. I was a lead teacher for a few years, and even the band chair for our Music Educator Association. And I just started getting on some things, encouraging them. Oh, there, her mama voice coming out. I'm like, I'm not fussing. I'm just encouraging, but it comes off like a chastisement, so to speak. And it's not meaning to come off that way, but that's just my passion comes off like I'm getting on you, but I just want you to get better. And for my kids, it's not because you should get better because you want to be better. You shouldn't get better because you're gonna fail or you're not gonna get an A in the class. You should get better because you're doing something and this is what I expect you to do. I helped my student leaders to the highest level of leadership that there was because I was the only one musically working with the band. So I need my leaders to be strong. And so they went through a rigorous training process to be a student leader. And so, but then once they were there, they were like, Miss Buck, I don't see how you the band director. You do so much. I couldn't do this job. But they appreciated the experience afterwards. So I hope I answered your question. I talk about leadership on a lot of different levels there.
That definitely does, I think. So balancing your personal and professional life. So how do you manage to maintain that work-life balance while being a band director?
I failed. I did not balance it. I did not. And not only was I a band director, but that woman thing, and then I was a single mom. And so once my male counterparts had kids, they went to elementary band or middle school. And I'm looking like, what do you mean? You know? And then, Paul, I don't see how you did it. I did it through the grace of God because I knew that I wanted to be a band director, you know? And so I unfortunately sacrificed a lot of time with my kids, with my son. I mean, I just knew he would hate band, my oldest, because he would be at the football games with me because I have a babysitter. Or, you know, who wants it? He was already at school or daycare until 6 o'clock, but that was when third shift was kicking in because we got to go to this football game. And or I would have him be at the concerts, or I would have a good band parent that would help and pick him up and then come pick up their child and drop off my child. You know, so that was the environment and the network that I created because I did not have a balance. I wanted my program to be great and my family sacrificed. So as I'm not married, I want a husband, you know, but I had no time to date because I had to go to practice or I had a performance. And so now that I've got out of that, I'm like, I have a lot more free time, but I don't because I don't have anybody to fill that with. So I make sure now I'm very intentional with my kids on creating memories so that, you know, we have something that we can say we've done, you know, not just only vacation to the grandparents for spring break because that's when you were off, but making intentional memories. And so please learn from me. Future, former, and in there, balance is so important because, you know, and it's sad to say that if we were to get to something to happen to us and we were to leave our job, they would feel it within 2 weeks. Will it be us? No.
Right.
And they'll be able to move and carry on, but your family, they're the ones that's going to suffer the most if you're not there. And so it's just important to create a strong work-life balance. I did get to the point where I didn't bring my work back home because I didn't even take out my car. I didn't have any time to do anything with it because I was already at work for so long anyway. And once I had my second child, I was like, 5:30, I have to go. So whether your parents are here or not, we have to go. And so they started learning and adjusting to that time frame so that I could spend time at home with my family.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm wondering if we should keep a poll as we go along with these interviews of how many people have said, I don't so far.
Yeah.
It's been everyone.
And it's why people don't do high school band.
Right.
Because you have that marching band. You know that your fall is going to be taken. But if your schedules aren't set up the right way in school, you're going to have after school rehearsals that you have to in order for your programs to survive. And so it's at what cost do we want to sacrifice our career? And the success of our career, the level of music. Do we want to play grade 3 or play grade 5 like everybody else?
Right.
You know, and so at what cost? But we should not have to sacrifice our family time because of it, where people only know you as a band director and not know you as a mom, a wife, a mother.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of touched on some things already, but what advice or guidance would you offer aspiring Black women who are interested in pursuing a career in music education or specifically aiming to become band directors?
Many of you are trailblazers, and the programs that you may start off with may not be like your counterparts, where they will come into an already established program with a strong parent base, a strong financial support, schedules are perfect. It may not be that way. And your struggles are not going to be the next person's struggles. But there is a community of people that are out there, a community of Black women band directors who know where you are, where you could potentially be and can reach out there and support you. Just do not suffer alone and think that you're less than because you're not as good as a program that's a couple of streets over in the next area, in the next city, because everybody's circumstances are different. You have to compare yourself against yourself. Because no one knows what it took for your kids to get on stage. You could have a community where you don't even have a budget for uniforms. You don't have a budget for instruments, but your kids got on stage and played that music the best that they could. And set goals for yourself, which are not compared to someone else. Because comparison kills. Because you will never have enough as the next person. And you don't, that statement, the grass is always greener. You still gotta mow the grass. You still got to take care of the lawn. And so it may look and appear as that other situation, that other program is better, that other school district is better, until you get there and see all that it took for them to get what you see on the outside, which is that performance goal. So be okay with where you are, set high standards for yourself, and set achievable goals that are something that you can actually reach and not things that are so far out of your reach that if you don't reach them, you feel like you're a failure.
That's great.
That's
advice.
Good. Yeah.
Great, great advice. So looking forward, what kind of changes or improvements would you like to see in the music education community?
I'm glad you said music education community. I was about to say the government need to pay us more, okay? Like, that's like most people go into teaching because they love teaching. We are band directors because we want to be, not because we have to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just wish that our career choices will ultimately end up well for us financially, but we don't have to take a second job or a side hustle to make ends meet. So that's what I wished in music education, how that would change. Because I'm primarily in high school, I'm going to touch on this. I wish that our community would, you know, think bigger, because we think, you know, our social media algorithms, they show you what you think is going on in the world, but it's not your world, it's your small portion of the world. And band is bigger than marching band.
Hmm.
And just because you want to have a musically sound program does not mean you're trying to sound white. How can you sound white with playing your instrument? You get what I'm saying? Like, a good tone is a good tone. Being in tune is being in tune. You know, I attribute that to how people say, if you talk proper, you're talking white, so
right,
to speak.
Right, but so there are people that not in tune? I don't, what?
I mean, because we're cranking, we're blasting, you know what I'm saying? We yeah. make, you know, we're playing loud, you know. I'm on the high school side, you know.
Right, right.
And so loud is great, you know. And it's just not. And then when you get in and put yourself in it, I wish people would put themselves in environments where they had to look outside of their house. You know, we all live in glass houses, but even inside your house is perfect. You know what I'm saying? Until you go peek in somebody else's house and be like, hey, yeah, you might want to come outside a little bit because there's a whole world out here, and go to those places that challenge you. People think that challenging you or critiquing you means that they don't like you. And I don't know if that's the social media effect on the world,
right.
But if I'm telling you these things that make your program sound better, I'm telling you so you can, your program can sound better, not because I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, people have gotten real soft. Like I even told my kids, like, y'all are soft like chocolate chip cookies freshly baked out the oven. Like, if I touch you, the imprint of the finger is still on
you. Right.
Like, I need some hard chocolate chip cookies where I drop, maybe a crumb may fall off. Like, because people are so soft these days, and it's not like that in the real world. It is a dog eat dog world. Mm. And they will eat you and spit you out. And then go on to the next meal. And so we got to get tougher. But at the same time, we need to have quality programs and demand what we want. Don't allow your situation to dictate how good you can be. Because mm-hmm. there are a lot of people that may have the same circumstances, but have monster programs. And they may not have a band program. They may evolve to small ensembles. I'm a person that blooms where I'm planted. No matter where I am, I'm gonna make the best of the situation. And then when it's time for me to uproot and grow to a bigger pot to plant it, I'm gonna go find that bigger pot. I'm not gonna just droop over because I don't have enough water or because I don't have enough instruments, I don't have enough money. Go out and get what it is that you need so that you can be okay and stop complaining. We complain a lot. We're not solution oriented.
Mm.
You know, if you go to your principals or you complain about your situation and okay, what you wanna do? I don't know. Come with a plan. Mm-hmm. Come with a viable plan. Research a plan. I just think that we in the community of music education, we allow our situation, our circumstances to dictate how good we can be. And I think we're better than that.
That's
I'm gonna get off my soapbox now.
There's nothing wrong with being on the soapboxes. That's what this platform is for. It's for you to share all of the wisdom that you have accumulated throughout your years of teaching. And I think that you have dropped some really good gems today for us and everyone that is listening. So I thank you so much for taking this time out to come and talk to us and drop these pearls of wisdom
Aww.
On us.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really enjoy I keep saying enjoy like I'm still there. I wish I was in a classroom right now. I'm like you shared, I'm a music administrator in DeKalb. And my goal is to make everybody else's program, one, is viable, where they're thriving. Because a lot of people want to be great band directors. So I want to hopefully help continue on the next. I don't want music education to fail because we're not successful in our job. And the other kids don't get the opportunity to learn how to play an instrument. Like, it is the best thing ever. And I want everyone to have the opportunity. So thank you guys for this platform. This is great. We have some phenomenal Black women band directors that are out here making strides in their own right. And it's great that you have this oral history documented through this podcast. So thank you for the invitation to come.
Thank you for being here. And Joycelyn, do you have any parting words?
I should, but no. No, I'm sorry. I'm soaking it all in and my mind is just like racing. I'm like, let me form a cohesive sentence. I can't do that right now. But no, thank you for coming on and sharing some things with us and honestly just keeping it real, you know? And yeah, so I think
and I find too, because I'll share a little personal connection, me and Monica were from Virginia, and I don't know, like, coming down here, I have had to kind of soften, because I'm used to just saying it, and people are just like, okay, you know, but down here, they don't speak like that, so sometimes we have to kind of,
yes,
it's a little different, they had to get used to me. I'm like, I'm not from here, I'm not trying to be me, I just say what I say, and it just comes out. Like,
yes, and you saying that makes me realize I could have used that too, but I didn't even think about it that way. We're just like, this is me, take it or leave it. But that is so true. And we were like, you know, they say Virginia is south, but it's so many people that are from that northern area, yes, that it's fast, and here is south. Okay, yes. Georgia is south.
It's not the same. At least our region of Virginia is not right. The same as the south. Like, we take more attributes from the north, but yes, okay,
most definitely.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys, ladies. All for listening. If you made it this far, we appreciate it, and come back to the next episode because we're going to have more great conversations with more members of our Association of Black Women Band Directors. Thank you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.